Colossians 3, beginning at chapter 5. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked, when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and you have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. This is God's word for us. Let us pause now and ask for His help and guidance. Our Lord, we thank You for speaking to us, for making Yourself known to us. We thank You for the Scriptures, that they are breathed out by You Yourself. They are not from men. They are not from tradition, but they are from the very mouth of God Himself. And so we bless You for Your word. Thank You for giving it to us and writing to us in these words about who You are and what You've done and what You have promised to do, but also how we might live life, come to salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, and live a life that is praiseworthy for Your blessing of salvation. Help us now in this hour to see and hear and understand and receive these things, so that it might change the way we live. We thank You for the realities of the Christian faith, and pray Your blessing now on this, Your word, to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, you know the saying, clothing says much about the man. Our clothing says much about us. In fact, if we stood back and took a look at different people and the clothes they were wearing, it would say much to us about their spending habits, or maybe about their emotions. It would speak of their personality. It would speak of their personal economics situation, their wealth or lack thereof. It would speak of maybe their employment or their position in society. That's the information we can gain as we look at a person and the clothes they're wearing. Well, in the Bible, you could read much about the person by looking at the clothing they were wearing. In fact, in the Bible, it speaks of clothing in many different ways. For example, if you look in the Bible, it speaks of a man wearing armor. He's preparing for battle. He wears shields. He carries a sword. He has sandals. He has different areas of his body protected by different articles of clothing. The Apostle Paul takes up that example in Ephesians 6 when he tells us to put on the whole armor of God. The priest in the Old Testament wore an elaborate set of clothing. He wore the ephod and the stones and the jewelry and the different colors, the different linens and woven cloths. And he wore those in order to serve the king, to serve the Lord, and to serve the people as their priest. In the ancient Near East, if a man or a woman wore their robe, it was a sign of dignity. For a man, it was a sign of maybe being an elder, particularly if he sat in the gates. Certain clothes identified a person as one who was in mourning. They wore ashes and sackcloth and looked distressed in their demeanor. Some articles of clothing or the lack of clothing showed shame and dishonor. And here in the book of Colossians, Paul is speaking to the Christian saints at the church at Colossae. He's speaking to us today, and he is saying something to us about the clothes we wear. Except he's not speaking about the cloth and the fabrics that we have on our bodies today. He is speaking about the clothing we wear as new creations in Christ Jesus. And he's saying to us, as he said in throughout the book of Colossians, and he says it in other places, but he's saying to us, you have donned a new suit of clothes. And this new suit of clothes which you have put on, they represent the status that you now have because you, by faith in Jesus Christ, are a Christian. You're a new creation. You are no longer a sinner, but a saint. And he's saying to them, as their pastor, Epaphras, has come and told him of things taking place in the church, he's saying, wear those clothes that are fitting of your calling. You're tempted to go back to your old ways and put on the filthy rags of anger and malice and immorality, all those things that are listed. You're tempted to go back and put those clothes back on. And he's saying, don't do it. Take them off. Put them away. Cast them aside. So there are three ways we want to examine this passage today. And the first way is we want to consider out with the old. Out with the old. Out with the old clothes. Out with the old man and its desires. We find these things in verses 5 through the beginning of verse 9. He says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. And he gives a list of desires and behavior. And then he says in verse 7, and these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. And he gives a second list of anger and wrath and the disposition of the heart. He says, do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self. So you see this idea he's giving to the saints at Colossae. He's giving it to us here today. He's saying there's a putting off. There's a out with the old. There's a getting rid of former ways of life, former articles of clothing. He gives two lists. The first list is a list of inner dispositions. The second list is one of outer behaviors. And he says very clearly of these things, they are earthly, they are idolatrous, and they are putting you in danger of the wrath of God. He says, on account of these, the wrath of God is coming. There is a great warning. But in verse 7, he reminds them of the reality of the grace of God in their lives. He says in verse 7, in these you two once walked when you were living in them. This is your former way of life. Put it away. Put it to death. Reckon it as dead. This is your old disposition. This is remnant sin in you. This is the way before Christ Jesus you lived your life. You were full of anger and wrath and malice and immorality and greed and covetousness. And he says, you must consider it dead. The old man cannot manifest itself in your lives this way, and you expect godliness and blessing. Reckon it as dead. Lay it aside. That's what he says. Now, in Christian theology, we call this the mortification of sin, the putting of sin to death. It's a fancy way of saying that our daily life is marked by hating our sin. It's marked by putting it to death, by saying no to ungodliness, by asking God to lead us not into temptation, but to deliver us from evil. That's what we just prayed in the Lord's Prayer. It's asking Him to take away the temptation and love and desire for the former ways in which we once walked. You see, there is a reality for us as Christians that we must face and face well. It's a grim reality, but we have all the necessary tools and blessings from God to live the Christian life in spite of this. But the reality is this. When God justifies us, when He pardons us, when He forgives all our sins because we come to Him by faith in Jesus Christ, saying, we are sinners and we are in need of your mercy. And without such, we are lost and hopeless and destined to an eternity without you. But when we come to Him in that way and He receives us, He pardons all our sins. And at that time, He also subdues sin in us. Remember that we are sons and daughters of Adam and Eve, that we are born with original sin. We are born with the corruption that they so graciously passed on to us when they sinned in the garden. What a great gift that was, huh? But they passed that sin on to us. As Christians, we live with the reality of remnant sin in us. It is pardoned and it is subdued. yet it remains in us. It remains in us, and it rears up its ugly head, and it wreaks havoc in our lives. And we come to God and repent of our sins. We go to others and fix what we have broken because of our sin. You remember well the Apostle Paul in Romans 7 speaks of this reality of remnant sin in us. And he says, I know what I ought to do. I know what the law says. I know what the Bible says. I know what I ought to do, but I don't do it. I don't do what I want to do. But what I do not want to do, sin, that is what I do. And you know the reality of that in your life. If you've lived any day or week or month of the Christian life, you know what sin is. You know what temptation is. You know the desires of your heart and the desires of the flesh that remain in you from your old nature before Christ Jesus. You know those things. And as you read this list of how sin manifests itself in our lives, you know the struggle. You know the struggle and the difficulty with it. And what the Apostle Paul is saying is, reckon it as dead. Lay it aside. It is your old nature. And yes, it's a problem, but lay it aside. Now, early in the book of Colossians, the Apostle Paul has spoken to the saints there and to us who read it today. And he has spoken to them of the great blessings of being united to Christ Jesus. And he says to the saints earlier in the letter to them, he says to them, you are united to Christ and you are united to him in everything he has done. If Christ himself suffered, you're united to him in his suffering. If Christ died, you're united to him in his death. If Christ was crucified, you were united to him in his crucifixion. And he says that as believers united to Christ Jesus in all these things that he has done for us, you have died to sin. You have died to your old nature. It is gone. It is dead. And so he encourages us to reckon it as dead. Consider it dead. Lay it aside. Don't go back to those ways of life. And he also speaks of the power of the Holy Spirit at work in us. And these two realities encourage us in this admonition to consider, to put to death, consider as dead, lay aside our old ways. And these give us strength to reject what is evil, to hold fast to that which is good. Here's something to consider as you face sin and temptation. Paul has spoken of these things as idolatrous, as things which bring wrath. And remember in your reading of the Old Testament how over and over the Old Testament people of God, the Israelites, the tribes of Israel, they abandoned God and they lifted up idols and worshiped them. And what does God do when he sees idolatry in his people? He abandons them. He exiles them. He punishes them. They have surrounding nations come. Do you think the Israelites could say, thank you, Lord, for these idols? Thank you, God, for giving us these idols of wood and hay and stone. Well, in the same way, can we say, looking at our sin, living out of our old nature, can we say, thank you, God, for the anger? Thank you for the malice and the rage and the covetousness. Thank you for the immorality and the licentiousness. Absolutely not. It would be absurd, wouldn't it? And so we remember these things. We weed them out of our lives. We put to death, therefore, what is earthly in us. Keep in mind this language of clothing. He's saying you removed your old clothing. You put it away. You cast it aside. This body of death, your former way of life, it is dead. And he leads, secondly, to speak to the saints and to us in not just out with the old, but he says on with the new. We cast aside our old clothes and we put on new clothes. And look how he speaks of it in verse 9. He says there in the middle part of verse 9, he says, do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and you have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Now, some of you men are probably like me. You have work clothes. You have clothes, and I don't mean you wear them to work. You wear them to work in the yard or to work on something with the car. I have this particular set of clothes that I wear when I do yard work or when I'm going to get dirty and sweaty. Now these are clothes that are fit for that occasion. These clothes have gasoline on them. They have oil and grease on them. They are clothes that I wear when I clean the gutters or mow the grass or operate a chainsaw or something of that nature. They're work clothes. They're for that purpose. But these clothes are offensive. They smell. They're not fit to wear in public, and they are not allowed in the house. They're not allowed in the washing machine. They'll catch fire. They're so smelly and offensive. But they're for a purpose. And I can be working on a day and need to go somewhere in the evening where I need to look better than wearing those old clothes, those old smelly clothes with holes in them and tattered cuffs on the pants. And so I take them off. I leave them outside. I clean up. I bathe. I get clean. And maybe it's a wedding I must go to or some event where I need to look decent. And so there's a change. There's a taking off of those old clothes. There's a removing the offense and the smell and the stench and the unsightliness of those clothes. They're removed. The skin is washed and cleansed. And there's a putting on of new clothes. And you can see the contrast. If you saw me in those work clothes and smelled them, and then you saw the difference of soap and clean clothes and cologne and good smelling things, you would say, "Wow, what a difference." And that's what the Apostle Paul is speaking of here. It's the picture he's giving us. You've taken off those old clothes and you've put on clothes fitting for children of the King. Now, there's a difference here, though. There'll come a day again the next week where the yard will need mowing, the oil need changing, or some duty or task will need to be performed. And guess what? I'll take those clothes back out and I'll put them on again. And I'll go do those jobs and repeat cycle, get cleaned up again. But the great difference here is with our old nature, with who we formerly were before Christ Jesus. We do not go back to those articles of clothing. We never, ever are to wear them again. They've been cast aside. In fact, it's as if they've been burned. They've been put away. We now wear clothes of dignity and clothes that show that we are in the image of Christ Jesus and have been renewed in Him. And what the Apostle Paul is saying to us is, quit getting dirty. Quit looking back at those rags. Quit looking back at those old garments which you once wore. They are not fitting for you as children of the King. Now, there's a difficulty. We want to wear those clothes again. Our sin nature in us desires sin. That's why a lot of the Bible speaks to the Christian, to the saint, at combating sin. It knows of the reality that we face with sin in our lives. It knows that our growth in grace, that our sanctification, that our progressive holiness is a work. It's a lifelong work where all the more throughout our lives we hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good, and quit sinning because we realize what it does to the Heavenly Father and what it does. But it's a lifelong struggle to hate our sin and to put a stop to it. And that battle, friends, will never end until we enter glory and until we are made perfect in the presence of God Almighty. And so these things the apostle speaks of, out with the old, on with the new, out with the old, on with the new. Those are things that we should keep on our mind often as we struggle daily with sin. This is old nature. This is ungodly. This is idolatrous. This is how I want to be living. These are the clothes that I want to be wearing. You know how it is when you get a set of clothes you like. You get used to them. They fit well. They're comfortable. And you know the temptation is, I want to wear those old clothes. I like them. They're comfortable. It's hard to wear new clothes. We don't want to get them dirty. But this is what the apostle says. We wear the new clothes of the new man. We put off Adam. We put off our sinful nature. We put off the way of our former life, and we put on Christ Jesus. We cast aside and we live based on the new reality. And he goes on in these verses to say, in verse 10, he says, this new self is being renewed in knowledge after the image of his Creator. What happened to Adam and Eve, and therefore us, in the fall in Genesis 3? What happens to us being made in the image of God in knowledge and righteousness and holiness? It was bent. It was broken. It was cursed. It was damaged. It was nearly destroyed. And here he speaks of the glories of redemption in Christ Jesus. For we who are new creatures in him, he says, you're being renewed in knowledge so that you might please God and know God and follow after him. And you're being renewed after the image of Christ Jesus. That's the standard we are looking for. We want to be like Christ and to bear his image. And guess what we want people to say? Particularly people who may have known us in our former life before Christ. We want them to say to us, boy, you sure do clean up well. That's what we want people to say of us. And as we grow older, it gets sweeter. As we grow in grace, it gets exciting to see who we once were and who we are now becoming in Christ Jesus. Remember in Genesis 3, the story of Satan coming in the garden in the form of the serpent. He came to Adam and Eve and he tempted them, and they followed after him into sin and rebellion against God. Remember, they were naked, and because of sin, they realized their nakedness and they were ashamed. There's the clothing image again. And what did they do? They found some leaves and they sewed these leaves and they attempted to cover their shame, but they still had to hide. And God himself graciously came looking for them. And remember that wonderful question he asked of Adam and Eve. He says, where are you? Where are you? And they said to him, we were naked and ashamed. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Your eyes have been opened because of sin. And he looks at them and says, these coverings of fig leaves won't do. And it took a death. It took the death of an animal, a sacrifice, and the garments and the skins of their bodies given to clothe Adam and Eve, to cover their nakedness. And it points us to Christ Jesus. It points us to what it took for God himself to clothe us in righteousness. It took the death of Jesus Christ. It took his nakedness. It took his shame on the cross, his exposure and his perfect sacrifice, so that we might be clothed in righteousness. Friends, there is no fig leaf. There is no outlet store, no outlet mall, no shopping mall, no modern day clother that can dress us in such a way to fit us for heaven. That can only come through the redemptive work of God himself through Christ Jesus, whose death and satisfaction for our sins and his righteousness given to us, that can fully clothe us in a way that God himself can look at us and say, I accept you. That is the extent and the radical nature of God's work on our behalf to save us. And the Apostle Paul is saying to you and I and to the Colossians, he's saying to saints throughout the ages and even saints in the years to come, he's saying, when God has clothed you this way, do not go back. Do not go back to your old clothes. Don't put them on. And then thirdly, he speaks here to the saints. And he says to them, this is how you as a new man are to live in the new covenant community. He's spoken of out with the old. Get rid of the old clothes. He's spoken of on with the new. These are the clothes of your new reality in Christ. And now he says to them, this is how the new man, the new woman ought to live in the new covenant community. This is how Christians ought to live together. And look at what he says in verse 11. He said, here, There is not Greek or Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all in all. If you make your way around the church in America, you'll note different things about different churches. Of course, there are different denominations. We all understand that. There are Baptists, Methodists, there's Episcopalians, there's Catholics, there's this little niche and that little niche. But different than those distinctions, there are churches with different backgrounds. There are what we might call rich churches, or white-collar churches, or blue-collar churches. There may be churches for young people, churches for older people, churches for all generations. There are all sorts of distinctions. And you see what the Apostle Paul is saying about distinctions. He's saying, don't have them. Don't have lists. Don't have distinctions. Don't be choosy or picky or snooty. Because the covenant community, the new covenant community, is one that is full of grace. He says there is none of this, there is none of that. There's not Greek or Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, slave or free. No, we are in Christ all in all. And he speaks of racial differences here, of cultural differences, of social differences. And what he's saying to us is maybe something like we know of justice in America. If you look at the statue of Lady Justice, she has scales which are evenly balanced. And what is over her eyes? A blindfold. She doesn't look and see things in partial ways. She sees things in justice and equity. And that is how we are to look at our fellow saints, at our fellow Christians. We all share in the sufferings of Christ. We are all united to Christ. We all share in His graces and His gifts. And it is not eloquence or status or intellect or profession or whatever worldly distinction that matters. No, it is that we share in Christ Jesus. It is only Christ who saves. And how does He speak of the saints in the Bible? Does He speak of saints as rich and poor, young and old, yellow, red, black, white? No, He speaks of us as holy, as beloved. And earlier in Colossians, He speaks of us as having a circumcised heart, meaning that our old nature has been cast off, that in Christ we have been given new hearts. And that is the only distinction. And in fact, that is a distinction that doesn't distinguish us among ourselves. It's something we share. It distinguishes us from the world. We are Christians. We are part of the church. We have been circumcised by Christ Jesus. And notice how he ends this little section at the end of 11. He just simply says, Christ is all in all. And he's referring back to the earlier chapters of the book, where he is saying of Christ Jesus, He is the firstborn. He is the preeminent one. He is God Himself. He is Creator. He is wise. He is powerful. And he's reminding the saints that Christ is everything. That Christ is our all in all. And that we are connected to Him. Now, isn't it interesting how the Apostle Paul speaks of the realities that we face as Christians? Sin. Our flesh, our old nature, the war that is going on within us between the flesh and the spirit, living for God or living for Satan. He speaks well of our state, our condition, our difficulties. And he gives us this language of clothing. Now, if you've grown up in a family maybe where you had a sister who was the fashion consultant of the house, and or maybe some of you men have faced this, where you're going out to dinner with your wife on Friday night, and what's inevitably said to you when you're wearing something you know you shouldn't be wearing, but it's your favorite outfit? You're not going out like that, are you? And that's the question for us as saints of God. When you find yourself wearing the clothes of your old nature, the anger, the filth, the immorality, the question that we should fear and have asked to us, and it should stop us dead in our tracks, and we should change our clothes. You're not wearing that, are you? For we have been clothed with the clothing from on high through Christ and His precious death. And guess what, dear brothers and sisters? This clothing with which we are clothed is the only clothing that is fitting for children of the King. And it is graciously given to us by faith in Jesus Christ with the forgiveness of sins and a new status. Remember when the prodigal son came home and he repented for his father? He was given a ring and he was given a robe and he was given the clothing and the status of his father's house. Friends, that is where we are as saints of Christ Jesus. And don't go out dressed in the clothing of old man, for it is not fitting for those of us who name the name of Christ. Let us pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You that You speak so boldly to us by Your servant Paul, through Your word and through the power of Your Holy Spirit. Help us to remember the realities of who we once were before Christ and to recognize now who we are now in Him and by His gracious power. We cannot do these things alone. We can hear these things and desire them, but it takes Your Spirit's help to live this way. So help us, we do pray. In Jesus' name, amen.